Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who get together on Monday evening to talk about what's coming up in the week ahead and to take phone calls and emails and give some answers to people's questions. I am Mark Waltz, speaking to you from the island of Manhattan in the city of New York, over on the west side of the island. And I'm joined by Ann Ortley.
On the Upper East Side at my bright red desk. And I'm joined by
Heather Rowan Robbins from snowy North Dakota, under about 3 feet of snow is in snowpack and higher in the snowdrift tonight.
It's cold out there.
It's cold out here.
Cold.
Yes, it is.
We are February 8th this evening, February 8th. So the groundhog has made his statement last week, and it looks like we're going to have a little more winter. And we are feeling the winter and headed into, actually, though, a nice week in certain ways, in the sense that we have certainly Valentine's Day and Mardi Gras coming up.
Yay.
And, and we have some things that we can work with that will be mixed emotions, we could say.
That's a good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Valentine's Day is always about emotions, and we hope there's the good ones. But this one is going to be a mix. And we have a new moon coming in along with that. So it's a pretty heavy Valentine's Day, and because it has the new moon, and that's the new moon that also brings in the year of the tiger. So we have the Lunar New Year starting up. So big week in that sense. All right. What do you see going on, Heather?
The year of the tiger, and then I'll be I hear also that the spaceweather.com is reporting some growing sunspots on the sun, which if that the sun has been unusually quiet for an unusually long period of time, and we've been expecting a pretty active solar cycle, you know, does these roughly 11-year cycles. And when the sun is more active in solar flares, not only do we get great northern lights, but we see history sort of turn up the volume. And we started a new solar cycle right at the beginning of the Obama campaign, but then the sun went very quiet, and it was as if the changes we saw coming didn't quite take the wind under their sail the way we thought they were. So I'm feeling kind of hopeful that the sun is starting to percolate again. It's not, you know, wildly off the charts yet, but it's got some good flares cooking. So that just tends to turn the volume up on all the other aspects in their big, more historical approach. So we're coming up to Valentine's Day, and I think Valentine's Day is, you know, it's got so much hype going on. It's such, it's a kind of a dangerous holiday for so many of my clients who compare their emotional life to the ideal that it's hyped on, and to the ideal of what their perfect romantic moment would be, whether they're in relationship or out of it. And I'd say maybe one in 500 actually has the Valentine's Day they want.
Wow.
Maybe less than that. The vast majority of people are disappointed or frustrated or blocking it or, you know, think it's not for them. Now, But Valentine's Day is an Aquarian holiday. It's about the theory of love, not the actuality of it, the ideal of love, and how to it was originally celebrated as a way, as sort of a theoretical way to choose a mate, you know, by picking their name out of a bowl on Juno's front stairs on the and you to pick that mate, and then you went off into the bushes with your mate and see if you liked each other. kind of interesting.
That's a good way to do it.
If
you don't like each other, you bring them back and turn them in again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you would try them out. Run, take a test.
Take
run.
Them for a test run. It doesn't work
right?
for me.
Yeah. That was that. You know, and that was back before there was internet dating. Speed marriage, maybe you call it. But and later it became, you know, Saint Valentine was a Christian saint who was not writing about personal love, but writing about spiritual love. Again, it's one of the pagan holidays that got co-opted or, you know, transformed by the Christians, however you want to see it, depending upon your politics. And this particular one we have coming up is got that even more than usual because of the lineup that we see with the Sun conjunct Neptune and Chiron. And you're going to talk more about the Neptune-Chiron conjunction and the new moon. And then the moon heads into Pisces and conjuncts Venus and Jupiter. So there's no way around it. The ideal of love with Venus and Pisces and Mars in, you know, don't you dare ignore me, Leo. It's the romantic expectations get turned up. And I'd like to see us take it back to collective action. I'd like to see us do, you know, Valentine for Haiti. Valentine for a cause that we believe in. Work together. Do a group meditation. Spend the day with art projects, making art, making things beautiful, you know, really making it a heart-centered holiday, but not about romantic love. Because Aquarius is not very good at intimacy. Aquarius understands the collective. And bring it back into the heart. Bring it back into collective action. And from there, it's not people disappointing us. You know, I wrote today in my column, it's not what Valentine's Day can do for you. It's what you can do for Valentine's Day. How can you, you know, make it a heart-centered experience that's not about personal love, but it's about cosmic love. It's about community love. It's about, you know, humankind. So that's my pitch for this weekend, because it's going to be an emotional one if we don't find someplace to go with the emotions.
Right, right. My mother always made me give Valentine's to everybody in class.
That's the Aquarian way to do it.
That's the Aquarian way to do it. It was like you couldn't give them to just one or two people. And then there were always people that didn't give them to you, and you felt, they didn't give me a Valentine, but they gave it to those other kids.
I
always didn't really like, I have to say, I never really cared for Valentine's Day that much. But, you know, because it had that, you know, you're not my Valentine, you know, and it's like, ooh, that doesn't feel good to be excluded from being loved and adored. But yeah, you know, so the other part of it is because it is Aquarian, you know, they don't really like the hugs. They don't really like the kisses. They kind of are like, you know, in my time and in my way, sure. But don't go jumping on me unless I ask you.
Right.
So I think that's the other part of it. And it somehow turned into this, I don't know, it's not that kind of Valentine's Day anymore, at least not with anybody I know. They all get crazy about it. Know what they get, what kind of present, does anybody love them? And I'm always like, well, what do they do the other days of the year? Are they, you know, is this a person you want to hang with? But it's also a hard holiday. So at any rate, this year it's particularly loaded because it's got Venus on Jupiter, so the expectations are going to be very high. And then it also has Neptune joining with Chiron, so the opportunity for your wound to be up and running and saying, I'm wounded. I'm hurt. You didn't love me. You didn't, you know, care about me. Lots of potential for that this week. So don't take it personally if they forgot you. They might have had a bad day at the office. Then again, it's so commercialized, it's hard to miss. So if they really didn't notice it, you know, it's kind of one of those. So, Mark, what do you think? What's a guy's perspective on Valentine's Day?
Well, I think this year will certainly be a test case because you know, we're going to sort out where we're just chasing after ideals and where it really means something. Yeah. And I think we have that potential with this. So my advice is basically to focus on the relationships that are the most meaningful. And that's romantic, but it's also friendship. And if it's really meaningful, mark it. You know, send out a card, give some flowers, do something to mark that specialness. And if it's not that meaningful, don't worry about it. You know, don't try to make it something that it isn't. Don't try to hope it's something that it isn't. Just be very, very clear about what makes sense and kind of what it adds up to from the last 12 months. Think about where you were a year ago and which relationships are really meaningful over the whole 12 months. And don't be thinking, oh, here's what I want the next 12 months to be. I'm going to make something really special for this person because I want them to be special in the next 12 months. That, I think, will lead to those frustrated expectations that you guys are talking about.
Right.
So really, let it be about who's there right now. And
who loves you, baby, is what his name is. Kojak used to say, right? Who loves you? And focus on those people.
I think that's the way to handle this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I also think, you know, for the people that don't necessarily feel that, I like the idea of giving out Valentine's to everybody in your class, your building, the block, the subway car. But my favorite Valentine was the year that we did a fundraiser on Valentine's for Bosnian rape centers back in the middle of the Bosnian War.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a big ritual that afternoon to support the women and to say no and to put limits on it. And the evening, we had all female performers, and anybody could come in the audience, but all people in very, you know, beautiful, cool, powerful stuff, and we took all the money and gave it to people, the counseling services over there for rape victims. And without a doubt, that was the best, you know, it was loving, it was people working together, it was doing something nice, we all had community. That was the most heart-centered Valentine's I've ever had. And I think that very Aquarian. And everybody felt connected. And it, you know, the people that were there, they could be as involved or as uninvolved as they wanted. They could just watch, or they could, you know, jump right into the ritual, or they could be part of the backstage. And that whole Aquarian collectiveness felt just right, because it's been since then that I think that I've seen it done like that. But this holiday is so much more about that. And, you know, I know one friend who just spends, she does goes and does solitary retreat every Valentine. She said that way she just knows it's all set. She goes solitary retreat, and she does meta meditations about loving the whole world. And that works for her as her way of marking the Aquarian heart holiday. Mm-hmm. So I just want to put it out there. Let's get creative and not buy the hype about Valentine's.
Well, and also just understanding it's, you know, when it's the Leo is, do you love me? And the Aquarian
at Mars and Leo.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, and the Mars and Leo for sure, but even just Leo in general, it's do you love me? And the Aquarian is the audience that watches the performer of Leo saying, oh, yes, I do adore you. I love your performance. Oh, now I'm going to get up and leave, you know, but it's not necessarily a personal, unless you're a stalker, it's not a personal love. It's a performance love. It's a love of the creativity and the art and the visual service of it. So that's the other piece that I think is. And I have to say, Heather, the first time I heard you talk about Valentine's Day as being an Aquarian holiday, I remember thinking, well, I really like that version. That makes a lot of sense, you know, because it really takes it out of the, you know, what's in it for me, Valentine's, into more of a, well, you know, we are all part of the human collective, and how do we express love to each other in our daily, and of course, in the middle of winter, when it's cold and dark, and you have fuel and your neighbor doesn't, this also, I think, is the idea of sharing and collective
That's
communion,
beautiful.
You know,
yeah.
that I have potatoes. You have some leftover zucchini that you canned, and let's put together a meal. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I think that whole piece mm-hmm. of it. The other thing I noticed this week is we have two transitions. We have Mercury leaving Capricorn and going into Aquarius, which is a it makes him go from Earth, where he's practical and he's grounded and he's very, you know, kind of monosyllabic and go, yep, nope, yep, nope, yep, nope. He gets into a much more chatty mode and much more communicative
yes.
mode. And he also has a number of declination aspects with big planets.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be getting a lot of information, Mercury is, about the future, or information that he needs to use to make decisions about where he wants to go. And then Venus, she's changing signs too. She's going into Pisces, where she is exalted, because she's about the vision of love and the loving of the soul of the person, not necessarily the Aquarian detached love, but the, you know, where she actually sees the soul and she says, I see who you are in there and I love you for it. And so I think those two shifts are pretty big. And we also have, not to be left out, we have two fingers of God forming between the Jupiter-Uranus, or between the Jupiter-Venus, and then Saturn and Mars, and then between Mars and Pluto and Jupiter-Venus. So there's two fingers of God's in the sky, which often give us or bring us choices, where we'll be asked to choose something or asked to make some kind of choice when those fingers get set off, and they're more towards the end of the week. So it also is a pretty energetic week actively in the heavens. There's a lot going on up there that can make people feel like, I have all this stuff I have to get done, and how can I get it all done, and because there's just a lot flying around. So recognize that's also a big component of almost a hyperness, is the way I kind of pick it up. It's like a hyper energy. So
the fingers of God do give a kind of hyper energy. There's a feeling of, oh, I've got to figure this out.
I think there's also going to be, I really like that Saturn-Mercury, in Saturn-Mars sextile this week. I think that in the midst of all the other emotional pieces, it suggests to me that our work, that if we can channel that emotions into work, or just find something, some grounding work to do, that it really, that sextile is subtle. We can ignore it. We don't have to do anything with it. But it can give us the energy to keep steady and stable and putting some energy behind our dreams. And so if the emotions rise up, what steady, stable, constructive work can we do to ground ourselves? But it goes back to that dream, and you were going to talk about that dream, the searching for the dream, Anne. And I think we can use that Mars Saturn sextile if we've dealt with that question. So
right.
Talk about that one.
Well, one of the things that's happening, it's happening next week, so we're a little early, but we're going to get kind of warmed up on it because it's forming this week, so we feel it. Chiron and Neptune are forming a conjunction. So when two planets join, what they do is they seed a journey that then runs for until they meet again. So they're joining now, and they're not going to join for another 84 years. So this is a big one. So, you know, it's the healthcare bill, certainly, because it's Chiron is health, and Neptune is the vision of what we believe is proper for the collective from the health community point of view. But it also is a slightly bigger picture, because what it does is it's about revisioning what we think is possible for ourselves. And we all operate under a series of myths. We all have a bunch of beliefs that guide us, for lack of a better word, that this is our framework. I'm a middle class white woman in America, lives in New York City, and I was raised a Catholic, and now I'm an astrologer, and I worked in corporate America. My mythology is then based in those facts and based in that experience. So when Neptune and Chiron join, if we look back historically at what they've done, when they joined in September of 1945, it was the end of World War II. Japan surrendered after we had nuclear bombed Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And also we entered, we put military people into South Korea because Russia was in North Korea. and Vietnam declared its independence. So I'm like, well, that's a big month, you know. I mean, we're still in South Korea. And, of course, we spent a lot of time and money and blood in Vietnam. And, of course, Hiroshima was a major recognition that we could annihilate a city with a bomb. And so it changed how people saw the world. The time before that was in 1880 and 1879. And in 1879, the first cash register was installed because the bartender, the owner of the bar, realized that he wasn't getting all the money he was entitled to. So the first cash register was put in. And then Pennsylvania passed the law abolishing slavery in its state. And the first town was electrically wired with electricity. So it changed the way people saw things. You know, we can say no slavery in our state. We can say, here, count the money a different way. You know, we're going to keep track of it with a machine instead of a person and maybe keep more of our profits. And then the other one was the electricity, that vision of electrifying the world. Mm-hmm. And in each case, there were major shifts in how we saw ourselves as humans and people. And we're going to have that this week. You know, there's a major shift to come in. And I, you know, and I don't think it's the Sarah Palin teabag people, but I do think it's the vision of what we want next. What do we want for ourselves as a collective over the next 80 years as these two planets join? And then secondly, what's your own personal vision for yourself? What's your mythology? What parts of your myth, you know, from 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago, have shifted and changed and you don't believe anymore? What parts of the myths still serve you? What's your operating belief system? What are your core values? And Neptune Chiron asks us in the face of changing values to look and say, well, I think what I really believe is this. I think this is what I believe. And to get clear on that. And so that's a process that we're going to be working on. You know, as one town is illuminated, eventually now the whole world is covered with electric wires. As one cash register is installed, now every country has, you know, there's cash registers around the world. You know, everybody needs a receipt except for our voting machines. And so it's understanding that there's this vision that's happening, that's shifting right now, that's a collective vision, a vision of what is possible for us or what can happen. And I think that's really what's important to remember about this. And it's an Aquarius, so it's got a humanitarian cast to it. And most importantly, it's on the new moon. You know, the new moon is a degree before it. And then it also is on the United States natal moon in late Aquarius. So it's also our dream as a collective and as a people. What's our vision of our country?
And how much that's the key issue in the debate that goes on between parties at the moment.
Totally. Because what is your vision of what do you want America to be? Or what do you want your dream? What's your vision of what it is, one? And then secondly, where do you want it to go? And if it's not a clear dream, you know, someone can take it and, you know, ride off with it or drive off with it or whatever. So I think it's a really important moment. We're at a major turning point in the collective culture. We don't often have these kind of turning points. But in the sky, in the couple of months, there's going to be a major crossroads in the heavens because there's going to be what's called the Cardinal Cross, and it's going to ask us to choose. So our job now is to say, well, when I get to the road, the fork in the road where I have to choose, it's kind of like when you're driving down the expressway and you go, okay, you know, we're going to looking for Route 33. When we get close, watch for that sign. We're getting ready for that choice in the next couple of weeks, next couple of months. So we're being asked now to pay attention because the signs are coming. And I think it's just huge. It's an enormous
And I noticed when I was looking at the effects of that on the American chart that Sarah Palin has her Mercury, Moon, Sun, Mars, and Saturn all lined up in Aquarius natally, with her Venus at 1 Aries. So she's got Pluto going, you know, they love her, they hate her, they love her, they hate her. But her Sun, Mars, and Saturn conjunction is between 22 and 25 Aquarius. So right now, this week, when she's getting all this publicity that drives me nuts, makes me nauseous, But it is...
She's a shadow, baby. She's our shadow. Yep.
She is our shadow. That Sun, Chiron, Neptune conjunction is sitting right on her chart.
Mm-hmm.
And it is saying... It is, you know, saying that she can be the spokesperson for one set of dreams and the nightmare of another. But it... It won't last forever in that, but this cloud of, you know, Neptune, that she can take the point person for people and be what they would like to see their dream, and is an example of what happens when you live in your own dream and you don't check for facts or try to figure out what else is going on. You try to cram your reality into an image that you have. Because that's what I see, is that she sees all of history through her image. And I see that's the trouble we all go through when there's a lineup in Aquarius. We have to be careful not to have a theory, whatever theory that is, and try to cram our experience into that theory. Instead, our theory needs to arise from real facts, authentic feelings, real experience. Then the Aquarius can take it and take a bigger picture and overview and see how it connects. But it depends on which way you go with that. And I just thought that was an interesting how she is taking the, she's being the point person for that part of the dream.
Well, she's carrying it for the collective, yeah, the people that want that vision. She's articulating it. And, it, you know, and it's not a vision I happen to particularly like, but the fact that there are a number of people that are saying, yes, that's my vision, or yes, I want that. Then
yes, that's my nightmare. Either way,
or that's my nightmare.
But
that's what I want to have happen. The articulating of the vision is really the key. That's the thing, the most important thing here. It doesn't matter what your vision is. It's I mean, it does. On you know, for, as far as I'm concerned, but you know, your vision is your vision of what you want, and her vision is very clearly articulated, which is one of the reasons I find her a little scary. But at the same time, she is speaking for people who are very bent in or very focused on creating that reality, because that's the reality that they want to move towards. And we all are in the process of creating a new reality. So it's about what's your vision, and get it out there in the collective, get it out there in your world, and say, my vision for myself is bup, 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 so that you're moving towards it, because the universe is saying to you, we're at a crossroads. We have to figure out where we're going. And we're making choices. And so, you know, speak now or forever hold your peace. You know, that moment when they say, do you know any reason why they shouldn't get married? You know, it's like, well, you know.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
As a matter of fact, I don't want to marry that dream. I want a different dream. But it's understanding that as part of the part of the place we're at as a culture, mm-hmm. as we face Pluto coming through our second house, defining what's of value to us, defining what's our worth. Saying, well, what is it worth to you? What is your purpose? Why are you here? And we need to have answers to those questions because, you know, when he asks, he expects an answer. That's the way Pluto is.
And once we get that answer, the Aquarius lineup is saying, now find other people that share your vision.
Right.
And work together if you can, mm-hmm. if it's a collective vision. If it's yours, you know, go take it, go for it, and find allies that can help you live that vision. But the process with, you know, one of the, going back to Sarah Palin character, that party has a vision and they're all working on it together. And I'm seeing so much of the left right now, left at the moment, pick each other apart. Everybody disagrees on the vision and they disagree on what's the priority. And I see this happen time after time. It's hard for them to work together enough to make things happen. But that Aquarius lineup says there's nothing we can't do if we start finding allies, start finding people who share our vision. But first we have to get authentic with the vision. Well, we have to get real with it, with ourselves, which you were describing so beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting times we live in, interesting times.
Should we put our number out and find out if there's any callers on the line?
Yeah, we do actually have a caller on the line already.
Are we going to say goodbye to Mark?
Mark,
I know Mark had to leave.
Yeah, I'm going to sign off.
Do you have anything you want to add before you go about that Aquarian, a wise one?
No, I think actually these are all good things to look at, and so add that into your Valentine's projects, is clarifying your vision and figuring out who shares that vision, and get with them and get it organized. Mm-hmm. All right?
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. So I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
Peace. Take care.
Take care. He's going off to do work. That's good. Off he goes. All right. So we do have a caller, and the other people calling 347-215-8881 is our call-in number. 347-215-8881. And we forgot to do the moons, Heather, so we'll do them quick. Today the moon's in Sag, so things that are begun today really do well, because the moon goes void tonight at midnight, and with a sextile to the Venus, and things begun yesterday. The Capricorn moon tomorrow and Wednesday is got a lovely closing aspect of a sextile to Uranus, so again, creativity's high. Thursday, most of the day, the moon is void, between 7:40 in the morning and 6:24 in the afternoon. So it's a good day to kind of do mundane stuff and get things out the door that, you know, not particularly important, you know, filing, you know, typing, organizing, that kind of stuff. Not major starter, finisher projects, but kind of following up on things and managing stuff. You know, it's kind of a void course moons you're supposed to kind of kick back. We're going to start having a number of long void moons because there's going to be a lot of planets in early signs. And then the moon goes into Aquarius on the 11th at 6:24 East Coast time, and then it's in Aquarius on Friday, and then Saturday until 11:30 at night, and it is the closing aspect. There is a conjunction to Neptune. There's a lovely new moon on the 13th, Saturday, at 9:51 p.m., so that's a great one if you can sit down and kind of vision your vision. And then at 7:23 in the morning on the 14th, the moon goes into Pisces, and the closing aspect for that is, again, a conjunction to Uranus. So these are very creative, very spontaneous, very new beginning kind of new moons, or moons this week. So no hard aspects. Most things begun will turn out okay, with a little surprise kind of thrown in just to keep you on your toes. So, okay, and then we'll take the caller. Do you have anything you want to add about the moons, Heather, before we do the caller?
Nope. Beautiful.
Nope. All right, cool.
Go ahead.
All right, we'll go for the caller. See if I can get her up.
Hello?
Hello. Are the caller there?
Hello.
Hi.
How are my favorite astrologers today?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay.
You're wonderful after that compliment. Thank you. And how can we help you tonight?
Oh, you guys are awesome. This Aquarius moon, I am a Gemini with a Leo rising with an Aquarius moon, and I'm wondering how that's going to affect me.
Okay. Can you give us your birth information?
Sure. It's 5/25/1970.
5/25/1970, yes.
10:40 a.m. in Cleveland, Ohio, is where I was born.
Okay. Oh, and the Gemini moon. Well, luckily, your moon is in early Aquarius. It's at 3 degrees, so this lineup won't be hitting on you directly. Mercury is going back and forth over your Aquarius moon and asking you to give voice, which is not at all hard for this chart, give voice to what you're feeling and thinking. This lineup in Aquarius on your moon in Aquarius brings back to some key issues in your natal chart, it looks like to me. You have all these outgoing planets in your Mars and Gemini with your Venus in deeply feeling Cancer. So you have deep emotions underneath all this verbal activity. You have a very outgoing, extroverted chart for the most part, but a fairly private interior, deeper feelings than you let on. And what people may underestimate when they first meet you is how sharp your mind is. With that Mercury-Saturn conjunction in Taurus, you've got mental stick-to-itiveness, and you can pursue something until it's done, whatever that is. So you don't just, you know, talk easily. You also have, you know, you back it up with thoughts and you have something important to say. But communication for you is just, you know, it's your natural flow. It's what you do. With that moon in Aquarius, you probably came into a family that was very aware of group dynamics, a mother who was very aware of what everybody else needed, but not always so just sitting still and being emotionally present. So sometimes you can still go into the, I think I feel, what my theory on my feelings is, what I should be feeling, but that answer doesn't really want to tell you what it's really feeling. So you have to trust someone really well to let that part, to be as aware of your own feelings as you are of theirs. And I think that that Aquarius lineup is dancing in your seventh house of partnership. And that's any equal relationship that you have, work, love, friendship, you know, counselor, business partner, anything where you're working as with an equal other is where the lineup is, that you're reconceiving how you deal with other people in a way that feels more emotionally authentic to you, is what I would say.
Yeah, because I'm going back and forth on that right now. It's life is just so wacky. I mean, one day I feel totally strong and optimistic, and the next day I am just devastated. And, you know, work for me ended back in August, you know, a month after my dad died, and I couldn't get work. And then all of a sudden, the past 2 weeks, I've been bombarded with these really awesome job offers. And now I'm in this weird position of having to decide.
That's all about the partnerships. Who do you want to work with where you feel whole? Where you don't feel like they only want one part of you, where you really feel like you could be yourself and who you are is what they want.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now the real thing is, even though it's a project that only lasts 6 months, possibly ongoing, it would give me the opportunity to learn a skill set in depth that would benefit me for the long term versus taking something that pays more where I live, basically just doing the same jack of all trades, you know, just master of nothing, you know, and so that's where the hard decision lies, really.
In terms of which way you're going to go with it.
Yeah.
Well, you are having, the moon is in the seventh house, you know, the new moon's in the seventh. So last month, the new moon was in your sixth house of work. So that would have brought in the work. And then this month, it's right on the edge of your eighth house cusp. And it's in a trine to your Mars. So I would say to you that there's a, you know, whatever the job is that offers two things, that's probably the one to take, because the Mars in Gemini is going to have enough variety. And this moon is forming a grand trine in air in your chart. You know, like your Jupiter is in Gemini, or not Gemini, Libra, and the Mars is in Gemini. So the moon's going to form an air trine. And I don't think you can make a bad choice with it. I see the anxiety with the Pluto in Virgo. It's like, well, you know, there's a little worry wart part of you that's kicking up, and you have to kind of trust that Saturn's in the third house by transit now, and it wants to give you new ways to talk, new ways to communicate, new ways to think. And when he comes back to the Uranus in September, that would be a really good time for another pop, for another job, or conceivably taking this job and committing to it on a more permanent level. Is that when the contract runs out in September?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they say it's indefinite, but they know for sure it would be for at least 6 months because that's what my contract states, but then it could be renewed after that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it will be, but I mean, it's you've got a grand trine in air that kicks in September, which would be when they would want to renew it, you know.
Right.
So you've got some nice aspects. So this is a grand trine in air teaching you things and teaching you how to talk, and then the grand trine in air kicks in September that calms you, you know, that kind of says, okay, let's ground it. And I think really what you're doing now is building whatever the job is that gives you the skills, and the thing you don't know about is the one you should take, because this, you know, you've got Saturn going through your third house. So there was a new love that came in, you know, starting in the fall of 2007 when Saturn was going through your second. and it said to you, this is your new love. What, you know, how do you want to work with it? And you can't make any money yet, but we'll show it to you and get you all excited about it. And now Saturn is saying, okay, now I'm going to teach you how to work with the new love. And then in a year or so, we're going to start you really working with it in earnest. So you're in this major developmental phase where your chart wants to learn how to learn new things. It doesn't want to do the old job. I mean, it can, and it's, you're not going to lose those skills, but it wants to take you and teach you stuff. So I would say whichever job offers the bigger piece of that would be the one I would lean towards. And I don't think you can go wrong. These are grand trines. You know, when you have a trine, it's like the universe is going, kiss, kiss, here, honey. We love you. Take the job. Mwah, mwah. You know, and you just have to go, okay, which job do you want me to take? And just sign up. You know, you're not having a bad transit in your chart.
No, you started that whole astrological new cycle with your lunar new moon, 8 months ago?
Yeah.
So you're still, you know, don't worry about building up speed. Right now, for the next 2 years, you're going to be taking the time to get it going. So that the short-term contracts are perfect right now. The short-term contracts, you know, you're building up skills and you're building blocks that you'll take into it when your progressed moon gets over the ascendant and, you know, you're taking off.
Okay. That sounds great.
Just have to give yourself room to keep up the personal healing and growth at the same time. Because you said at the beginning that you're both devastated and exhilarated, you know. The both truths are real in your chart at the same time. You have Pluto opposed your Venus. You're still grieving. You have keep pushing to push your emotional condition. You are still in that emotional resonance. You have Pluto squaring your Uranus. There's a lot going on in your chart as far as the deep level emotions while all the success is happening. So it's not one day you're this, the other day they're that. It's you are both at the same time.
Yeah, it's just some days I can cope better than others.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some days you feel one, same days you feel the other. But if you can begin to trust that rhythm, that you feel that deeply, and when you start doing the ordinary everyday things, when you go to work, you come out of that emotional mess, and you can say, okay, sadness, or okay, deep feelings. Let's call it a deep pool of feelings. I'll be back. I'm just going to dive into you for a little while. And when you know that it's finite, you won't be so scary to go there. Because I think sometimes it scares you how much you feel, because this rest of his chart is not used to going down and wallowing diving into the deep feelings. But when you dive in there and just kind of just see what's in there, what is it that I feel? And don't believe the thoughts. Don't believe the, I'm never going to feel better. That's a thought about your feelings. Just go like, right now I'm sad. You know, in 2 hours I have to go to work, or right now I'm excited. In 2 hours I have to go to work. But what is the feeling? Just notice it. Don't read the future into it. Don't think you're going to feel like that tomorrow, because you won't. Just, that's where I am, and then where do I go next? Because you're dealing that all the grand trines, doing great things though in the air signs, and then you have that push to keep that heart open. Under difficult circumstances.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and the other part of it is, because it's in the 12th house, your progressed moon and your sun and your progressed Mars, they all want really strong private time. And so you can do fine for a while out in the world, but then you need to have something that you can come back to that's kind of like your Zen retreat. And if you understand that that's really what you're going to be kind of out for a bit, and then the tide is going to shift, and you're going to be like, I want to go home now, and I need to go home, and I'm leaving. And then go home. And then, you know, you're solitary, you're by yourself, gives you time to replenish. Also, lots of water, lots of baths, lots of drinking of fluid and stuff. And also, because you're more sensitive now, I would even do, you know, talisman kind of protection stuff, where when you're having a difficult meeting or you're in a situation where you're feeling, you know, extra emotional, you're feeling a little out of control, carry a bottle of water with you and kind of put it between you, if it's a difficult person, between you and the person, or just carry it with you and kind of send your energy into it and then dump it. Don't drink it, dump it. because you're carrying, you're also extra absorptive right now. You're kind of like a little cosmic sponge for the next 11 months until Mars gets out of Cancer.
Good and grief, 11 months. Oh, no.
Yes. Well, yeah.
It comes and goes.
It comes and goes.
Minute by minute, really.
Think of it as the tide. You know, the ocean's in, the ocean's out. You're not yelling at the ocean. You go to the beach, you go, the ocean's out. What the hell? I want the ocean in. Well, the ocean will be in 12 hours. It comes
that's
back in.
While
in
you're doing all this big, successful stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got both happening in your
you
life.
You've got both happening. So your tide's going to want to go out, and you need to go, okay, the tide's out. I'm going home. And then tide's in. Okay. You know, because it is a huge, there's a bunch going on in different parts of your chart. And you're good with the air sign. You can run it for a while, but then you're going to need to go, I got to go home and be by myself and understand where normally that's not how you've operated because of all the air sign connect, connect, relate, relate, chat, chat, chat. This is more of a private time for you. So don't judge it as a bad thing, but just say,
it is kind of a bad thing for me because I really want to have a family and I just got out of an abusive relationship and I'm wondering, it's like, I'm really trying to speed the process along with like, great understanding,
honey,
but it seems that's like
your theory? That's your theory on it.
Uh-huh.
But that's your theory on what you should be doing. You're trying to speed the process along. The healing is not, you can't speed the healing of a broken leg, but you can take a lot of supplements and do the physical therapy.
Yeah.
I want you to just take care of yourself rather than speed the process along because you're going to be you have the capacity to be a wonderful spouse and mom. It's all over your chart. And right now, the hunger to be a mom is intense under a new moon in Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still, you know, it won't be long. In less than a year, you'll be out of this, you know, the dark emotional stuff, or, you know, the tendency to go there, and there'll be some major healing that will have gone on. So you'll be much more ready to partner. What I want you to do is to focus on your healing and on trusting yourself because I think that in the abusive relationship, one of the things that happened is that you talked yourself out of your own feelings, that you knew better, that you knew how to take care of yourself, but you talked yourself out of it. You had a theory about your feelings that, and you had a theory about why he was doing that. And if you can start trusting you don't have to trust them. You have to trust yourself enough to know what you're feeling, to trust that when they tell you it's not a problem, but you know it is, that you get out of there. Mm-hmm. That makes it much safer to try again.
Right.
Because it's yourself you're learning to trust. It's yourself you're learning. So really noticing your feelings right now is what you need to turn the volume up. To with that Aquarius moon, to really not pretend you feel anything that you other. Just right now I'm feeling this. I don't feel safe with this person right now, so I'm going to take a walk. Or I do feel safe with this person, and I can't really explain it, so I will, you know, start a deeper conversation with them and see how they and test and see how it goes. But just really staying in touch with your own feelings. If you trust that, then what happened in the last relationship will not bleed into the next one.
Oh, I know that for darn sure. Yeah, I mean, that was the big thing. You know, I've been told time and time again that I have very good instincts, but just like you said, I talk myself out of it. And it's just typical mind games, you know, that I play with myself. Oh, I'm still single for some reason. You know, it's got to be me. And so,
you're sending out a lot of mixed signals to yourself. That because you don't really feel safe in a relationship yet, because you don't quite trust yourself, you really are not, you're not really noticing the flow between you and other people. You're protecting yourself rather than noticing the flow and working on your own safety. But you can get there.
Yeah.
You actually have
good relationship aspects.
Just learning to trust yourself. So even though you're in the cave, it doesn't mean you're not going to meet somebody.
Yeah. And one more little thing, I feel so greedy, but I love you guys. As far as communication goes, you know, I wanted to write down my feelings to the person that I was in a relationship with. And I know that we will never be back together again. But I kind of want to help him because it's definitely a pattern from his parents. Should I do that or not?
No. You can write him because you need to get it out of you. Do not write him to help him because he can't hear it from you. It may help him for him to know how you felt, but do not analyze him. Do not tell him it was in front of his family or his parents or anything. You can say, I feel it might be because of, but don't project on him. But what might help him is, I loved you, you hurt me, I no longer loved you. That he hears what he did right and he hears what he did wrong. Don't try to help him. That's what you did over and over again, and that caught you too in this.
Uh-huh.
You see? But if you give him the facts of what happened and how you felt, he has the information he needs when he's ready to let it go, heal, and move on.
Right.
But you do need to do it for you, because that's how you process emotions, in the sense of whether you send it to him or not. I would sit down and do, you know, did you see the movie where Jack Nicholson was dating Diane Keaton's younger daughter?
No.
They were the same age, and he had a heart attack, and so he ended up staying at her house, and then he and she dated for a little bit, and then they broke up. And so she's a playwright, and she's sitting there crying and writing. And for her, it was very cathartic and ended up being a big Broadway hit. It's a very funny movie. I'm drawing the blank.
About what a jerk he was, yes.
About what a jerk he was. But it also was for her to get it out of her. And with your chart right now, because you do have that stuff in the 12th house, one of the things I would say to you with this guy, if you recently broke up with him, is probably he's got a past life story with you, in the sense of, you came together in this lifetime to see if you could work out whatever it is. So focus on the place where you had the conflict, because that's the space that was the problem the last time through. And then kind of focus on what you would do differently on your side to release it, because that's the space that you want to release, is your hook into him, so that you're actually free to move forward to another person. Because you can stay, you know, the Cancer stuff can stay very attached for a really long time, because it's emotionally sensitive, and it is retentive, and it hangs on. So you want to do almost like a water ritual and just say, okay, I release it and flush it away and send it off into the river. And I mean, I don't know if you live near a river now, but it's very helpful. I do stuff and then bring it out to the East River and dump it in the river, because it's like, it's here, you know, here's this nice big river going out to the sea, carry it away from me. Because you can hang on to things with the way your chart is set up right now, with all that water flying around in your 12th house. And giving yourself permission to release it, I think, is a really good idea. Sending it to him, you know, I don't know. There's a part then that is going to be, what if he calls you? What if, you know, do you want a ton? You know, like when you stir the pot, you're going to trigger something maybe on his side, and do you want to do that? Or just work on releasing it on your side, and know that if you release it on your side, it's released on his side too. Mm-hmm. And when you think of him, you know, just kind of cut the etheric tie and kind of say, okay, I release you with blessings, and wave your hand in front of your head or wave your hand in front of your heart or whatever part's attached, and say, I release you and send you back to you. Thank you for the lessons, and go in peace. Leave me alone. And you just kind of send them back. Mm-hmm.
Do we have anybody else on the line?
Let me look. I don't know. We do.
We don't. I'm happy to keep talking to her.
Yeah, no, we do. We have one more behind her. Okay, so we're going to go to the next one. Do you have any
questions? Okay, good luck.
No, thank you. You've been a great help.
Okay, cool. Good. Bye. We have 6 minutes left. Okay. Good question, Heather. I always forget. I have a little timer. All right. Hello, 415 California. Yes, San Francisco.
Hi, it's Lila calling.
Hi, Lila. How are you? You there?
Hi. How are you? And Lila, when were you born?
Lila?
Did we lose Lila on the phone?
Lila, call back. And no, it says no caller. Lila, call back in and remember to press 1. Our phone number, 347-215-8881. Lila was listening in California. 415 San Francisco, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we'll get back to that.
Oh, there's
that,
Lila.
That was,
yay.
Oh, good.
All right. Lila.
Hi there.
Can we get you back?
Hi there. Let's try that
Hi,
again.
You got me back. Okay. It's lovely to listen,
so,
be able to listen to you, and I'm home tonight, so I actually get to ask your question.
Yay. Okay.
Okay. And when were you born, Lila?
Yes, it's April 9th, 1975 at 12:34 a.m. in Whittier, California.
Okay, 12, I've probably got it somewhere, 34 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
in Whittier.
And April 9th, 1975.
Yes.
Cool. What's your question?
Well, I'm having some work issues coming up, and I'm actually looking possibly to leave a place that I've been sort of tied to for about 3 years. And I'm wondering if you might be able to recommend a better time, like if now is a good time to do something like that, or if I should wait maybe for a different time, depending on what's going on in my chart.
It looks like you've been sitting on this for a few months.
I have.
Uranus conjunct your natal Mars and your progressed Mars and your natal moon, and you know it looks like you've been just going back and forth and yes and no and trying not to just walk out in the middle of the day sometimes.
Uh-huh.
You're ready to move. Yeah, you're ready to move, hon. And
yeah, I'm loving working there on a personal level with my clients, but I'm having a lot of problems with really aligning with the, not the true vision, because I feel like there's a true vision there, but with how it's actually being handled, more of the managerial and, you know, the inner workings of the organization.
Mm-hmm. And it's so hard for someone with this much Aries not to tell them how to run it and not to walk out and burn the bridges. But it feels
so I'm wondering, is it something that's going on in my chart that's saying, okay, time to let go of the bridges, or is there, do I need to be careful and sort of walk the line? And, you know, I'm sure moderation is always sort of the answer, but, you know, I'm not quite sure how to leave it.
Yeah, well, you know, you have such deep feeling and all that Pisces, and then you have the Aries that wants to just blow them off, but you're right now, Venus, before it goes into Pisces, right now Venus is on your Mars today, tomorrow, the next day, and it might be a really good time in your house of finances to find a mature way of handling this and give a healthy notice.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And
so maybe that's why I'm feeling it so intensely.
I'm loving,
right,
kind, friendly. You know, I love your vision. I'm having problems with it. I wish you well. Good luck.
Yeah.
You know, and
okay.
Sure, and kind and loving, and get a good reference from them in the future kind
uh-huh.
of exit.
Uh-huh. And do you think that could also be what you're talking about with the Uranus? Would that be affecting me with my relationships? Because I'm also feeling like really lit up around like a personal relationship with a male, and I'm wondering
you're
if that would have the
you're
same.
Sitting on hot coals right now.
Oh.
Everything.
I wonder why I feel like I should barricade myself into my house before I make any wrong moves.
Well, yeah, it's definitely. Your whole chart is really kicking. You've got a lot of stuff on your Venus too. I would say to you, you know, it's not that you can't do the stuff now. Mars is retrograde in your eighth house, so there's a part of you that wants to just blow the bridges up. The thing is, you've got all those planets in Aries, so the ruler, you want to be really careful you're not blowing up a bridge that is something
helpful.
You might want to cross down the road. And you are having Saturn square your Venus, so I would also say to you, one of the things you want to look at with your progressed Venus at 4 and the nodes at 4, the solar arc noted for, is what is your vision? You're going to have the moon change signs in a couple months, and he's going to be much clearer in this month, next month. And I think you may actually get some job offers. If you talk, there's a woman out there that you know that's a Gemini, particularly towards the end of the sign, that you've worked with in the past, that may be a job you can get and go to that place and keep doing the work you're doing, but shift locations.
Oh, I'm definitely going to continue with the work that I'm doing. The places I'm thinking of leaving, I only work there about 4 hours a week. So it's very small. It's a tiny blip in my week as far as the work that I do. I've done what I've done for 15 years.
Okay, we've got to go. Call us again. Take care.
But yeah, you are on hot coals, and wait until Mars goes direct on the 10th, if you can. If you can't, if it's only a few hours of work, you know, it may be easily replaced with something that's more to your soul's liking, and then you'll be fine. You've got a lot of stuff that's saying
you're ready
to change.
Before you say anything and deal with the problem in the moment, don't say, I'm never going to see you again, just like, I need to leave now. Okay. Just,
all right, well, thanks for your time. Take care, guys.
Sorry we dropped you, Lila. Thank you for calling.
Sure, that's okay. Bye.
Okay, bye.
And have a wonderful week, everybody.
Yeah, and watch out for that Jupiter-Neptune, not the Jupiter-Venus, no, the Venus.
And
the
you
Venus,
are
Jupiter,
our Valentine.
And the Neptune Chiron, yes. Huh?
I said, and to our audience, you are our Valentine.
Oh, yes. Happy Valentine's Day. All right. Bye from Ann Ortley and Heather.
And Heather Owen Robbins out here in northern North Dakota.
And Mark, who left already to go work on his book. So we wish you all happy Valentine's Day. We'll talk to you next week. And we're sorry we ran out of time. It goes so fast. All right. Bye, Heather.
Goodbye.